So I would like to call the special meeting of the Energy and Environment Committee to order, and the December 9th, 2020 special meeting of the Energy and Environment Committee to order. We have, I believe, just one item on the agenda, and I think we're well prepared for it. So I see that Legislator Bruno is there, ready to start us off with the pledge.
Pledge allegiance to the flag, United States of America, to the Republic, which stands
one nation,
under God, indivisible, with liberty and justice for all.
Thank you. And tonight, we're going to revisit resolution number 449, which we postponed to get more information. And there has been more information forthcoming in law enforcement, public works, capital projects, and I believe also in ways and means. And I would like to ask for a motion for purpose of discussion.
A motion that we move for discussion.
I'll second that.
Great. My question to the committee is, does everyone feel that they have their questions adequately answered, or do you have any other questions? We have staff available. Go ahead, Legislator Bruno.
I don't have so much of a question as a statement, I guess, and I may probably be in the minority with this, Mark, so I apologize ahead of time. But I've been looking a lot at Capital Project 519, which is what this is based off of. And just a scenario to paint a picture. In March of 2018, we spent $250,000 for an energy efficiency audit of sorts. Then in September of 18, we spent another $31,000 on a flex study. I'm not really sure what a flex study is, but we spent another $31,000 on it. In May of 19, we spent $242,000 to bring the gas line to the site, to the county jail, to the law enforcement center. It was a good buy at the time. I understand the reasons for it, but we still spent $250,000 to do that. Then in February, we spent another $108,000 to bring the gas line from the site into the building, to the boilers. That's a total of $631,000, way over $500,000. I'm sorry. Sorry about that. Okay. And now we're asked for another $54,000 for design work for replacing the piping. We pay this. If we say yes to this, we're now up to $685,000. And next week, at our next regular session, we have two more resolutions before us, resolution number 451 and 464, which includes $57,400 for service work on the old boilers and another $72,200 for service work and maintenance on the controls of these boilers. Out of this, and even if you want to forget that last two resolutions, $685,000, and we haven't bought a boiler yet. These boilers, law enforcement center was commissioned in 2007. That's 15 years. And we're already, up to $1 million in a heating system. There's something really wrong here, and I have a real problem with saying yes to this. If we have a heating system of Cleaver Brooks boilers, which are known as like the best in the industry across the board, I mean, they have a life expectancy of 30 plus years. And here we are 15 years in, and we're being told that these boilers are not serviceable and not repairable and that we're going to have to buy new ones because they're breaking down all the time. I don't know whether that falls back on the old school when they built this jail, the law enforcement center, or not. But I have a hard time spending that kind of money that quickly on something like this. It doesn't seem realistic. And why is this ever going to be every 15 years? We're going to have to spend another $1 million. I'm all about energy efficiency and upgrading. And I can really appreciate that. I do know that that doesn't come free, that it comes at a cost. But the payback time, especially now during COVID, where we scrambled and we pulled money back from some very worthwhile programs. We stopped giving raises to people who really honestly deserved them, but it wasn't the right thing to do at this time. And now we're going to be into, since 2018 to 2020, we're going to be into this project for almost $1 million, and we got nothing to show for it yet. We still have the same old boilers running. And so I got to be honest with you, at this point, I did get a lot of information since the last meeting, and I can't, with a good clean conscience to my constituents and the taxpayers in my district, say, yeah, we're going to spend another $54,000 so the county can design the work it needs to replace the boilers. But that, I mean, the boilers alone are probably going to be another $500,000. Plus to get rid of the old boilers and get them out and throw it, probably another $500,000. So we're going to have, by the time we're done, close to $2 million to replace a heating system in a building in less than in about 15 years. You would kill a contractor if they did that to you, to your house. You would kill them. So I can't justify this right now. I'm sorry.
Mark, I see your hand. I wanted to just ask Amanda to explain FlexTech, and then I'll call on you next. And I have my own comments, but let's take this in order. Thank you. Amanda, if you would just explain the FlexTech.
Thank you. I can speak a little bit, Legislator Bruno, to some of those initial, the work that was done back starting in 2018. The first thing is to let you know that that $250,000 for energy efficiency, as that was laid out in that resolution, was state NYSERDA grant money that we were awarded by being the first designated clean energy community across the state. And we very purposefully, with that kind of prize, decided that we were going to take a hard look at the jail, because we were A, concerned with some of the things we were hearing as far as the systems there, but also knowing that it is the single largest energy consumer. 40% of the county's energy kind of bills, almost $1 million a year, are spent at the law enforcement center. So I can assure you that it's something that staff across the board are very cognizant of, and are always looking for ways from our various angles to look for solutions that best protect the interests of the taxpayer and keep that building functioning. So that first $250,000 was grant funded money, no county match, for energy efficiency improvements there. And we were able to do a lot of lighting work, as well as purchase an electric vehicle for the SRO and some additional projects at the jail. The next step then was to use FlexTech, and we were able to leverage state grant funding again to do a heating and cooling master plan for the building. The Department of the Environment worked with Public Works, and they were very, very cooperative and receptive to our input in that process, and taking a step back to look at, one, what's going on here as far as why are these systems in the state of distress that they're in right now? And two, are there opportunities either right now or in the future to deploy renewable energy technologies at the jail? And what do we maybe have to do now that we can do so in a way that we're never precluding or, minimizing the chance that we're kind of shutting the door to a future renewable technology at the jail? We may not have the perfect answer right now for renewable technology there, but we don't want to be re-engineering a system and make it very difficult, impossible, costly for us to do something in the future. So we went through that whole study. We looked at solar thermal. We looked at geothermal. We looked at biomass. We looked at the retrofits. And out of that heating and cooling master plan, by far the most cost-effective way to deal with the, I'm going to use the word crisis with the boilers, was to go forward with the natural gas extension, which does, just switching those boilers from fuel oil to natural gas reduces the greenhouse gas emissions due to heating on that building by 25%, which is substantial when you consider that building alone is 40% of our energy use countywide. So we've done so diligently. I think we've taken the extra time to look at that, and also at the same time have those engineers to talk about, you know, was it the commissioning? Was it the year that the contractor could operate the system there before before the county took kind of control of the building? I should say, was it prior to the commissioning? The official, when they commissioned it, but before the county took over the building. Also, there are issues around engineering with thermal shock to that heating system. That we've gone through with a fine-tooth comb to really talk about what system provides the return temperatures that doesn't create those same stresses on those boilers. We think that most of that failure has to do with thermal shock, but it's a serious issue. It's a lot of money. No one can understand. I mean, the questions around why it's failing so quickly are everyone should be asking. But I do want to assure you that it's been a very diligent process to turn over every rock we could possibly put our eyes on.
I think I saw another hand. Oh, Mark.
I mean, Amanda pretty much hit it. I don't need to add anything onto that. My only comment would be I would continue to research the jail because it continues to be the gift that keeps on giving. I mean, there's been articles, the overruns, all of the, you know, we're replacing a roof in the next couple of years, well before the roof should be replaced. The contractors on the, you know, it's well documented, the construction of this jail.
Anybody else?
Oops.
Legislator Petit and then Legislator Bruno.
Thank you. I mean, I'm on board with Legislator Bruno. It troubles me more than anything to see, you know, the accumulated costs, you know, especially when we get into engineering. And I would like to ask County Deputy Ryder, since his background was in procurement, if it's possible, do we have to spend $10,000 more, $50,000, $60,000 for an engineering draw up, or could we put out an RFP and see if, you know, these companies could come in and do that for us, because then they'd then be, you know, installing a piece of equipment that would run and, you know, be exactly what we need. I mean, it does, when we first approved the gas lines, it was just in case we needed them. So, you know, I don't know if anyone was aware. I mean, the gas lines were just in case because Central Hudson happened to be installing them on 32. That's what we were told at Public Works. We were. But anyway, I guess I'll stop there. I'm just wondering if there's any way that we could start peeling back the costs. You know, I'd hate to see $1 million before we even get the heaters installed.
The procurement on this was all done properly. I mean, there isn't an opportunity for savings there. Sorry.
Nothing. Okay. So we can't have companies come in and do the, you know, submit it without the engineering people coming in for another $50,000, $60,000.
Legislator Green, I can add a little to that answer because I went through this with Commissioner Jackson in some depth after our last meeting. So to state procurement policies require us to have a different firm, Mark, correct me if I'm getting this wrong, a different firm do that design work. And it's not just design, it's also some inspection and supervision of the installation. Right. So that there's no, right. It's not proper to have one firm do both the design and the installation. Yeah. This did, this design work did go out to bid. Commissioner Jackson told me there were 14 firms that bid on it. The average bid was in the $100,000 range, and some were more than double that. So this is a good value and a good procurement process, and it is the proper way to do it.
Legislator Bruno, then Legislator Criswell.
Nope, you're muted.
You're on mute.
Sorry, guys. I have a couple of questions. One thing, Amanda, you said that we're now in this crisis of these boilers that have only been there for 15 years. And I understand the debacle that we had building this jail and everything that went before it. I mean, while I wasn't a legislator, I do read the papers and I do understand what a I got to be careful the words I use, but what a mess it was. That being said, one question I have is there's a lot of money we're investing in, and I don't even question whether it's being done correctly as far as how the procurement's done. I have no doubt you guys are doing your due diligence. My question is, first of all, thermal shock is something that happens from a poor design of a heating system in general. I know what thermal shock is. I know what it does to a boiler, and it can be prevented. With simple controls, believe it or not, and some minor piping arrangements. If the piping was done wrong to begin with, then that can be corrected. However, one of the things that comes out of me is, does the county employ a boiler operator, a plant operator technician, a guy who, or more than one guy, who oversees the operation of our heating systems? Somebody who can be there, who does the blowdowns on these boilers daily, hourly, per shift as necessary. Somebody who does the normal maintenance, pulls the burners on, cleans the filters, cleans the strainers. I'm not saying public works who just, when they think about it, they got a free moment, they send somebody over there to do maintenance. The operation of a boiler house of this magnitude requires a person, a human body there to do the work and to maintain them. And I'm almost thinking that maybe it would be more cost effective going forward. And I'm not saying no to this yet, but going forward, the county may want to look into contacting CSEA or whoever it may be that can provide somebody who actually knows what they're doing. And I'm not saying that the public works doesn't, but an experienced boiler operator to maintain these boilers and give us the longevity that we deserve. I mean, like I said, these boilers should be lasting 30 plus years. And a lot of it could be from simple maintenance. I mean, let's face it, we're spending, when I look at Ashley Mechanical Kingston, they've got a stellar reputation on the work they do with boilers. And I'm looking at $57,000 just to maintain these boilers. And I know what that means. That means pulling them open once a year and cleaning them and stuff. But you still need people there every day. You need people to blow down the low water cutoffs, to blow down the sensors, to maintain the water quality. That's a huge thing. To maintain the temperatures, to prevent thermal shock from happening, to make sure you don't have condensate coming back to that boiler. Into those boilers at 50 degrees. Those are things that normal people who run boiler plants do. We might be, if it costs us, let's say we pay somebody $100,000 a year plus benefits, it's still cheaper than $1 million every 15 years. Am I making any sense, Mark? I hope I am.
Yeah, and I mean, I will double check with Tom on the exact qualifications of these individuals, but we have teams of buildings and grounds workers that work only at that location and on that equipment. And okay. So they're there 24 hours a day. We have multiple shifts. That jail cannot ever go without somebody from maintenance there. If something happens at 3 a.m, somebody's on site. So,
okay. And I wasn't aware. That's why I'm asking. That was more of a question than a statement. And I just want to make sure that we are providing the right maintenance to these boilers. Because let's say we move forward to this thing, and by the time we're done out the door in 2021 and we spend over, probably close to $2 million on a new heating system that's energy efficient, probably more than that, are we going to maintain them where it'll last us for 30 years? It's a very hard pill to swallow to say, another another 50 years, we're going to do it again. And that's something that I really have to wrap my head around. And I apologize if you think I'm belaboring this, but this is what I come from. So this is what I look at these very critically.
Amanda, I think Legislator Criswell was next, and then you, unless it's a direct response.
Yeah, if you want to respond, please.
It's a direct response. I would just say also, you know, the systems design and engineering that is causing these problems, there are very long loops in this building, and that is creating some of these problems and poor design. What we're doing now between FlexTech and the engineering is trying to remedy those problems. And it takes time to do it and money to do it properly so that future investment is appropriately sized, piped, watch for the return temperature. You know, we have the right maintenance schedule when it comes to the, you know, the what is it, propylene glycol, you know, everything is being watched. So that's part of what we're going through right now.
I just wanted to, something that Deputy Ryder said flagged for me, this idea of the roof being problematic. And I don't know much about the history of this building, except that it's been problematic. And I don't know the timeline or anything, but is there any way that we can address the contractors who did faulty work with legal ramifications and have some sort of insurance payback on crappy work?
It's all been done. So this was going back to about 2006 and 2007. I think the overruns were almost three times the cost, somewhere in that realm. It's actually I'll leave it there. But, 2006 and 2007, there's lots of problems. There was legal action taken on many of the contractors.
Okay, thank you.
I just don't want to put good money after
that. I have a few comments, but I want to be sure everybody on the committee has a chance to speak. Go ahead.
Yeah, I just want to say one more thing. So I am so not an expert in this area, and I feel like I'm hearing people who have done really serious due diligence. And I feel like there also is a moment where you kind of have to trust the people who are in the weeds on the ground. And so that's where I'm heading with this decision.
Anybody else? Okay, so I have a couple of things to say. First of all, I want to just say that I find it a real honor to serve on this legislature with people with such diverse knowledge bases. I trust that out of that diversity and deep knowledge, we're going to come up with the best possible solutions. And that's not to dismiss the staff, but it's almost as if we expect the staff to bring, you know, that knowledge and competence. And I just have to comment because this happens time and again. I learn so much from my colleagues and I'm grateful and I want to express that. That said, I was here. I wasn't here in 2006, but I was here for this particular project from its outset. And I do believe that the best decisions were made given the information available. As I said, I think at a previous meeting, the degree of climate crisis was known, but I also believe that that the staff was trying to balance immediate cost, real dollars and cents cost to the county versus the kinds of costs that we're seeing with the global climate crisis that are not, you know, there's a phrase about internalizing the externalities. Those costs, those externalities, I don't believe were adequately factored in. I think moving forward, much stricter attention will be paid to the carbon and greenhouse gas implications, and that'll be part of all these planning processes. So I think there was a bit of a lag where we had a certain amount of knowledge, but not enough to internalize those externalities. And I have one other comment, but before I do, I heard roof. When I think roof, especially for that facility, I have been, a lot of people have asked over the years, why don't we have solar either on the grounds or on the roof at that facility? So I hope that the engineering will certainly include not just telling us the cost, the extra cost for making the new roof be able to support a solar system, but to be able to factor in the actual benefits, because even in the short term, this facility is taking a huge amount of energy and has the ability to generate some of that energy on site. And I'm doing everything I can with the regional renewable energy implementation planning process to be sure that the best incentives for transitioning to renewable energy, which is now a state mandate, are in place. So roof, promise me that the roof will be evaluated for solar.
We will absolutely evaluate the roof for solar. Can I add one other little comment in there as well? I hear what you were saying about 2018, just like, and I know we understood the climate crisis, but we have to bring projects to the legislature that will get 16 votes in order to get bonded. And so even if we had felt like those costs were worth it back then, even if all of the staff on the administration side, we have to be realistic in what we're putting forth. And while we may have seen the costs and agree with you, we have to get 16 votes. So.
Well, speaking of votes, we're getting close to voting. Go ahead, Legislator Bruno.
So I got a question, Mark, if I can. I can appreciate that. I know nothing happens without a majority. My question is, knowing what you know, Amanda and Evelyn as well, this $54,000 for the design work, what's the next phase of this project? Where we go from here? Is the next one awarding a contract to a contractor to replace the boilers? Is the next one another study for something else? I mean, where are we going? Do we have a timeline, some kind of a roadmap so we can see where we're going with this? Because at the looking at this, I mean, from 2018 till 2020 and still going forward, it could go on forever. And I don't want to see that happen.
Yeah. So this will give us a set of plans to go out to bid with. And so the next step after this contract, they will design the bids and we will go back out to bid for the replacement of the wood. So next time we come to you after this should be after we've gone to bid and we have the cost to replace the boilers.
So with that, is there any concessions that can be made in the next two resolutions that are before us next week, 451 and 464, from both Ashley and I forgot what the Eastern Heating and Cooling, I believe it was, for the control maintenance?
Yeah, so these are one-year maintenance contracts. They're one-year maintenance contracts. They're not to exceed, so – but they're not to exceed contracts as well. So we may not spend that full amount, but we don't anticipate that by 22 that these boilers, I mean, maybe by 22, we don't anticipate in 21 that these boilers will be replaced.
Okay, but you anticipate in 21, 22 year heating season that we will need $75,000 worth of maintenance on the controls of the old system. That's a lot of money for maintenance of controls.
Right. Again, if we don't use it, we won't use it. But I think that, you know, it needs to be there. I'd have to look at what we spent last. And I can get you that before session, what we spent last year on it.
That session, I understand that's another fight next week or another discussion, but these are all pieces of that same puzzle at the end of the day that the taxpayers are going to have to pay for. And if I can, while I'm still talking, and I appreciate everybody's tolerance of letting me speak on this a little bit, Amanda and Evelyn, I do understand that the money was through a grant. A lot of the monies were obtained through state and federal grants and through NYSERDA and stuff. And I can appreciate that. But I'm also understand that grants money still comes from the taxpayers. And while it may not be coming on Saugerties or Kingston's tax bill, it is still coming from us in a roundabout way through New York State and the federal government. So, you know, we're supposed to be stewards of taxes in general, wherever they come from. So I'm attuned to that. I understand this is probably one of those necessary evils that I may not be happy about, but I also understand, Evelyn, that we have to do this right. You can't have the same contractor design that's going to install. I understand the conflict of interest part of it.
Legislator Petit.
I actually, when Evelyn said that, it triggered my first stab at putting in a grant. So I built a bridge, essentially. And it was very hard to find an engineer willing to do some of the specs because then they couldn't put in for the bid to actually build it. So thank you for that. But also as a heads up, generally, so I'm thinking if it's going to be 54,000 or 52,000 for the engineering, then that means the job is probably going to be over 500,000 because it's about 10%. So I guess we should expect to see a bill between 500 and 600.
All right. Any other?
That was it. Just we're not.
Before I call for a vote, I want to say that I believe that everything was done as well and reasonably as it could have been done, and we're also in a very difficult situation in that a lot of money has been spent with certain conclusions and certain goals. So we're sort of halfway there, or more than halfway there. Well, that depends on what the final price for installation is. But I personally would like to have the privilege of voting a protest vote based on my own ethics and the fact that I believe yesterday, the comptroller announced that New York State will be divesting in fossil fuel investment. And I would like to celebrate that by drawing a line in the sand and voting no. However, as I said, we're halfway there. We're kind of in the middle of a project where a lot of work and, you know, the best thinking available went into the project, and we put a lot of money, and it kind of has to move forward. When I think about, you know, $1 million or more than $1 million, it's very hard for me to believe that the investment in geothermal would not have been appropriate. And I've heard different reasons why. I just want to say that when Iron Mountain came to Rosendale for a variance because the building that they wanted to build was not in compliance with our zoning, and so the not only did the zoning board have to rule on it, but the town board did. And I suggested that they look into geothermal, and it was a 7-year payback, and they were thrilled because everything after that is savings for them. And they were able to, you know, take a step in the right direction in terms of sustainability. And they were very grateful. So I'm not sure that I, you know, I'd have to go back and read the feasibility study and the flex tech and the analysis that was done. But, you know, these dollars are so high that it just seems to me that it would have been a good investment to go for either geothermal or some other beneficial electrification and then provide the renewable energy to run it on site. And that's just top of my head. Amanda, please.
Yep. I'm going to make a very long story very short. But again, due to the design of the jail and the fact that we would be attempting even to retrofit an existing fossil fuel system to geothermal, which has very different water temperature properties, it is exorbitantly expensive, not even modestly more. We're talking very low estimates of probably $7 to $10 million. So it's a very long story. Happy to discuss it at some future point when we talk about retrofits, but it's unfortunately at this moment, without intervention at state and federal level, it is cost prohibitive for us to go it on our own.
Legislator Warren, do you have any comments or concerns before we call the vote?
There we go. No, I'm comfortable with having gone through the process. Thank you.
Okay, thank you. Anybody else? All right, so this is, I would like to go from our, we had a first and second to discuss resolution number 449, amending the capital project number 519, Ulster County Law Enforcement Center energy upgrades to amend the capital budget 2020 capital budget for the Department of Public Works, Buildings and Grounds. All in favor, please raise your hand or signify by saying aye.
Aye.
All opposed. And again, this is just a protest vote to maintain my integrity in terms of drawing a line that we should not be investing in fossil fuel moving forward. So with that,
one moment. Is there any... Legislator Bruno, did you vote? How did you vote?
I, much to my chagrin, I'm voting yes because of the project. We're in it too deep to turn back now. I also agree with Legislator Manajo that we should really seriously look at to stop the burn and move towards renewable energies. And I understand the costs involved. But with that, I'm going to have to be a yes on this because, like I said, we're in too deep to turn back at this
point. Sorry, the way your camera was, I couldn't see your hand.
Oh, yes.
Just to be on the record, I also agree with Legislator Green, but I feel like in for a penny, in for a pound, we need to move forward with this. And I do trust the people who, like I said, I trust the people who are in the weeds, and this is what they deem necessary for this project. So that's why I'm voting yes.
And if I can say this publicly, I want to thank Mark, Amanda, and Evelyn. All three of you have, you know, as much as a hard time I may or may not have given you people, I just want you to know that I do appreciate and I thank all of you for your insight and your information that you've lent to me. Keep in mind, this is my first year here, and I'm learning as I go. So thank you.
Mark, did you want to say one more thing?
We passed environmental protest somehow.
Yeah, exactly.
The protest.
So we, the motion carries 4-1. And, you know, I'm not sure I would have voted that way because we are so far down this road and so much good work was done. But I appreciate the ability to offer a protest vote. And
has your hand up.
Go ahead.
Yeah, thanks. I just want to say, you know, Amanda gave the short version of where the energy study for this facility came out. What I'm learning, because we're just have been going through the results of the energy study for the county office building with the folks at NYPA, is that, you know, it's just very costly to retrofit a building that was designed for a hot water system with geothermal, because it's just a different technology. Geothermal doesn't produce water at that temperature. We're going to have a similar conversation when it's time to work on the county office building. I want everybody to be prepared for that. The line we draw in the sand, and we will, I hope, draw in the sand, and we need to mobilize the rest of the legislature and our thinking around this in the sand, is never to build another facility this way, so that we don't face these decisions. It's just a very, very different thing when you're building from scratch and you make those decisions. So I just want to be kind of prepared for thinking about these decisions going forward and the difference between retrofitting and Laura points out quite rightly, there are buildings that have been successfully retrofitted, and RUPCO's building is a good example, but these larger facilities, the county office building and the jail, where there's just these long piping systems and you have to take the whole building practically apart in order to replace it. It's, you know, nobody wants to come to the answer that we have to buy another gas boiler. You know, nobody wants to. So I just wanted to lay that groundwork for future discussions.
Legislator Bruno.
Yeah. Evelyn, I can't agree with you more. I do understand that retrofitting it sometimes is impossible. It could cost you as much as it would cost to put a new building up, just to try to make – you try to – something my grandfather used to say many years ago, you try to make a silk purse out of a sow's ear. You really can't do that. And to expect 2020 technology and all its energy efficiencies to be adapted into a building that was built in the 70s is virtually impossible. That being said, when we get to the county office building on Fair Street, I think the conversation needs to happen on whether or not it's even worth it, and the payback, and both environmentally and financially, and it may make sense to build a new building somewhere else. Maybe the Bank of America building could become the new county office building. Who knows? I'm just saying there's other alternatives besides retrofitting an old building. In some cases, it may be to cut your losses and move away from it and construct new energy efficient and cost effective ways of doing it.
Yeah.
I mean, we're into $1 million and we haven't got anything yet. I mean, so just picture, you know, how much of a building would $1 million put into, could you go with it, you know, on a new building? It might be worth it. Although at Vassar, we just spent $500 million to put up a new building. So, and it's LEED certified, man. And Joe, we got grass on the roofs.
Okay. Well,
but it is powered with gas, though.
You know, we're in a transition, and transitions are almost always difficult. When I like to liken it, because I was a Lamaze teacher for so long, to when a woman is in transition, that's the most difficult part of the labor. And it's been a long time coming since Jimmy Carter put solar up on the White House, and then I think Ronald Reagan took it off, or, you know, we've been back and forth on this for a very long time. And it's been a long labor. and I really appreciate what Deputy Wright said about drawing the line in the sand, moving forward, and the difficulty. I want to say one last thing, and that's kind of to put a plug in for the Climate and Community Investment Act, which has not passed. But if it does, it's basically a carbon tax that would be reinvested in renewable energy, infrastructure, storage, and energy efficiency, especially energy retrofits. When you think about, you know, New York City, where people have to open their windows in the middle of the winter because you can't control individual areas because it's a centralized system and burns way more fossil fuel than is efficient. So I think, you know, that's sort of how I would sum this up, is that we're in a transition. Transitions can be difficult, but I think this county is definitely headed in the right direction, both from both sides, the legislature and the executive branch. I think we have, you know, very good people who really get to the bottom of things. And even though sometimes it takes a long time to get to the bottom, I really appreciate the hard questions that, for example, Legislator Bruno has put forward tonight. So with that, and my little plug for CCIA, do I hear a motion to adjourn, or is there any other new business or old business? Okay, I saw your note. is that hand a motion to adjourn, Legislator Bruno, and seconded by Legislator Petit? All in favor, please signify by raising your hand and saying aye.
Aye.
Aye. And anybody oppose? All right. Motion carries. Meeting is adjourned at 6:54. We did well. Thanks, everyone.
Have a good night, everybody.
Good night, everyone.
Thank you. Okay. Thank you.